John 14, 16 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, "Who is the Holy Spirit?" Part 2. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. I pray, God, you'll help me to be accurate in teaching your word. Holy Spirit, invite your presence to give us open hearts and ears to hear what you would say. And God, that we would not simply just hear it, but that we would put it into effect, that it would be written on our hearts and our minds. It would build us up in our spirit. Lord, we ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen. So 3 weeks ago, I got into this idea about where Paul says he doesn't want us to be uninformed, basically, about the Holy Spirit. And so that it's important that we understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. And I believe that Paul wouldn't write that if they had what a lot of people call a cessationist theology. Cessationist theology says the gifts of the Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit in that manner in the world is no longer in effect. Well, if that's the case, then why did Paul tell us, "I don't want you to be ignorant about the Holy Spirit"? I mean, he did that because he wants us to know, because the Holy Spirit, as I said, is the person of the Godhead that we interact with on a daily basis. He's the one who's here on earth. God is on the throne, Jesus is at his right hand, but as we read right here, it says that the Holy Spirit is with us. He's going to be with us for how long? Forever. I don't know how you come up with a cessationist theology when the Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to be with you forever. That means that it's not going to cease, okay? And we know here where it refers to him as counselor, and different translations use different terms. Some say helper, some say comforter. Some actually use the term paraclete, which is the Greek word for it. But if we read on 10 more verses in verse 26, it tells us the counselor is the Holy Spirit. So we know that it's the Holy Spirit. He's sent to be with us. He's going to be with us forever. I feel like it's something I've been talking about the Holy Spirit quite a bit, but I found out it had been like 8 years since I'd done a concerted series on the topic of Holy Spirit. So I wanted to go back and do that because, again, Holy Spirit, when I talk about Holy Spirit, I'm not diminishing God. I'm not talking about someone who is not God. I'm talking about God. Because as I said last week, Holy Spirit is fully God. He's not a second-class citizen. He's not God little g. He's not junior God. He's God. He's God in a different role. Holy Spirit is all about power. He's the doer of the Godhead. That is his role. And we see that even all the way back to creation. That is who Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit, as I said, it's not the Holy Spirit. The word "the" is a word that's not in the Greek original manuscripts. That's been inserted in the English. It's just written in the original Greek as Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, the person of the Godhead, the person of the Trinity that is with us now and going to be with us forever. He is the one. If you sense God's presence here in this service, you are sensing the presence of Holy Spirit. If you have seen an answer to prayer in your life, that answer was brought and manifested by Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is the doer of the Godhead. He's the one who is with us. As I said last week, I believe he fulfills the role of Emmanuel. Jesus was Emmanuel when he came into this world because he was God come to earth, God with us. But now Jesus is at the right hand. The Bible tells us this clearly in like five different places in the New Testament. Jesus is at the right hand of God. It is Holy Spirit that is with us. He now fulfills that role of God with us. So when we experience God, when we see God at work, when we sense God, whatever it is the person, it is God in the form of Holy Spirit that we were interacting with. Therefore, I believe it is really important that we teach about and understand Holy Spirit. I know it's difficult for a lot of people. They just see it as just odd. I don't know why, but I don't know if it goes back to the old King James and a long time ago. Holy Spirit, I don't know, it was always called the Holy Ghost. And that sounds kind of strange, but that's King James uses the term Holy Ghost a lot. You know, I don't know if people conjure up images of Casper the Friendly Ghost or what, but that seems to cause people to struggle. Holy Spirit is fully God. He is with us. He is the one that we sense and that we interact with. And not only that, we got into this 3 weeks ago when I talked about not being, you know, not being uninformed about, not being ignorant, as Paul says, about the Holy Spirit, is that it is those gifts of the Spirit that God gives us that are considered body parts, and all those body parts put together make up one complete body, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. So we see the design of the church around based on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. That's the design of church. We design church around, as I said last week, around classes and programs and campaigns and all these different kinds of things. That is not how the Bible designs the church. It's not how it's organized. It's organized as a body with the gifts of the Spirit being the body parts. And that's so important, is because as we minister the power of the Holy Spirit to people to meet their needs, they are interacting with, they are meeting God more clearly, more personally than they ever will in any other time. When we minister to somebody in the gifts of the Spirit, that is the time that they are interacting with God more in a closer relationship and more reality, being touched by God than any other time. People walking around out there in the world, they're not aware of the Holy Spirit. They're not interacting with Him. But let's say you have a friend who's not saved and they have some need and they actually ask you, hey, can you pray for me? And you, using the gift that you have to meet that need, you pray for them, you do whatever. You serve them, you help them, you comfort them. However you do it, when you're doing that by the gift of the Spirit, that person now is interacting with God in a much more real, tangible, personal way than they ever will. Because Holy Spirit is God. He is in you. You're using that gift as a part of the body that He's given you. And you are touching, you are allowing God through you, via Holy Spirit, to interact with, touch that person's life. They're not going to get that anywhere else. Are you guys out? You're all just staring at me. Are you getting this? Do you understand my point? It's a significant point. If you're not sure, let me tell you, yes, this is a significant point. Isn't that what we want? For people to have this chance to be touched by God. Well, using the gifts of the Spirit, we do that. So, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians, this is still review, I'm going to do this very quickly. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He anointed, that means God gave us, He gave this supernatural empowerment to us. That's what He did, He anointed us. Likewise, in Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is God with us. It just said it there. Jesus did what He did on earth because He was what? He was anointed. Because why? God was with Him through the Holy Spirit and power. The Holy Spirit, as I said last week over and over, is all about power. He is the doer of the Godhead. He is the person of God who is acting in this world, in our lives, and through us. Jesus was anointed. That's how He did this. We also, it says in 2 Corinthians 1:21, are what? Anointed. He anointed us the same way that He anointed God. And He anointed us to do what? He anointed us to do good, the same way He anointed God, or Jesus, to do good and to bring healing. Let's pick up into some new things this week. We're going to go back and start again with John 14:16 and look at some of the different roles, the way the Holy Spirit works. And I'm going to read, actually, this time I'm going to read this passage from the New American Standard, John 14:16. It says this, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. Now, NIV says counselor, New American Standard says helper. The word that's used there, that's translated these various ways, counselor, helper, comforter, is the word paraclete. And the word paraclete, in its core, means helper. So New American Standard translates it helper. But there are different aspects of this idea of paraclete. The word paraclete is one who comes alongside and helps. One who comes along and supports in whatever way you need supported. So if you need help, it's help. If it's comfort, it's comfort. If you need counsel, then the paraclete counsels you, okay? If it is as intercessor or an advocate on your behalf, then Holy Spirit or is paraclete. He is advocating on your behalf. These are the various roles of the idea of the Holy Spirit as our paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us supernaturally in whatever manner we need help. Acts 9:31 says this, "So the church throughout all of Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." So the Holy Spirit here, the church is, this is, you know, shortly after the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the day of Pentecost. People have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is working in them and through them, and is building up the church. And it says, throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria, they had what? They had peace and was being built up. And because of this, it says through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. The church is growing. There's a time of peace. There's a time of building up. And the church is multiplying. The Holy Spirit as paraclete, we're going to look at some of its different roles. First thing it says here is that it brought comfort. It says they had peace and they were being built up. The Holy Spirit comforts us. It brings counsel or wisdom to us. The Holy Spirit is with us to help us and give us wisdom when we need it, to counsel us. And that's what it says in John 14:26, where we open. If you look at the New American Standard, they choose to interpret it as counselor. The Holy Spirit will counsel us. He is that still small voice. You know, when it says, don't do that, or maybe, yes, do this, we should expect the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom in situations, to counsel us about what to do, how is the right way to go about doing what we do, that he will give us wisdom. We're told in James that if any of us lacks wisdom, that we should ask and that God will give it to us. We should believe that when we ask for wisdom, we'll receive the wisdom that we need. I probably should ask for wisdom a whole lot more frequently than I do, but when I do, I should be confident that I've asked God for wisdom because I need it and that he will, in fact, speak to me. He will direct me. He will lead me, prompt me, however that, to do what is the right and the wise thing to do. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. When you talk about Holy Spirit being with us, you know, don't be ignorant. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He's going to be with you forever. Do you ever need peace in your life? Do you ever need peace? Guess who you should expect to show up and you should want to show up? You should want Holy Spirit. Do you ever need wisdom? Do you ever need counsel? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. You should want and expect Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because he is our counselor. He is the one that brings us wisdom. He is God who is now with us. God, forgive me if I'm wrong in how I say this. When you pray for wisdom, God isn't going to show up and give you wisdom. God the Father isn't going to show up and give you, thank you for, yes, God the Father isn't going to show up and give you wisdom. Jesus isn't going to show up and give you wisdom. Holy Spirit is. It's like we've treated Holy Spirit like he's this, I don't know, talk to Holy Spirit, pray Holy Spirit, have faith in Holy Spirit doing something. It's like we're diminishing the Father. And we're not. He's God. It's not diminishing God in any way. In fact, I'm making such a point about this is because I believe that as we understand it's Holy Spirit that is active in our lives, then we will see Holy Spirit more active in our lives if we understand that. It's like, you ever see the, nowadays I guess we would call it a meme, you know, there's a flood and there's a guy sitting on a roof, and he's praying God to save him, and somebody comes along floating on a raft or a big board and says, "Hey, get on the raft with me." And you know, and they go, "No, I'll stay here. God's going to send somebody for me." And then a little while goes by, and he's praying, "God save me." And a boat comes by, and they go, "Get in the boat." And he goes, "No, God's going to save me." And then a little later, he's praying again, still for God to come save me. And a helicopter comes, says, "You know, climb up the rope ladder." And no, God's going to save me. And then he drowns. And he says, "Well, God, I expected you to save me because I sent three different people to you to save you." If we don't recognize it, then we aren't aware of it, and we don't see God at work. We don't see Holy Spirit. I'm making such a point of this because I truly believe that when we understand it's God in the role of Holy Spirit that's active in our lives, then we will see God as Holy Spirit more active in our lives, which is exactly what we need. Does that make sense? Okay, so when I pray for wisdom or counsel, then John 14, 16, as we opened with, says that he is our counselor. I should expect that. Holy Spirit is there to help us when we need somebody to advocate for us. That is also a role of the Holy Spirit. He's coming alongside, and he is our advocate. John 14, 26 from the English Standard Version says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you in remembrance of all that I have said to you." He brings us, he teaches us, he reminds us of what Jesus has done. He is going to help us to know, teach us, build us up, to help us be able to do the things that we need to do, and bring us to remembrance all the things that he has said. These are important roles of the Holy Spirit, and he does all of these things. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we pray and we don't know how to pray as we should, then the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, for what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." When I don't know what I should pray for or how I should pray, it says, if I am aware of Holy Spirit and his role in my life, it says that he intercedes on my behalf. That could be helpful. Amen. If Holy Spirit, and what makes it so helpful, it says, he who searches the hearts and mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. When the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, he doesn't intercede based on what we say or what our will is. Whose will does it say he intercedes? Based on? On God's will. And that's good, because God knows exactly what should happen. We were talking again this morning in Sunday school. A lot of times when we don't see God at work, it's because we know how we think God should do something. Okay, I got a situation. I need something done. This is what needs to happen. We all have that. I'm not being critical. We all do that. Okay, God, this is what needs to happen. But God doesn't do it the way that we know it should be done or think it should be done. He does it a different way. And because he does it a different way, we fail to recognize that God just did what we needed him to do, because he didn't do it the way we should. Well, but what we really need is we need God to do what he knows should happen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He intercedes according to God's will, according to God's way, not according to ours. Well, that's good, because I find that usually, 99% of the time, God's way is better than my way, 100% of the time. Amen? So if he intercedes according to God's will, God's plan, and God, that's a much better thing. This is what he's doing. Now, I'm saying all this. Do you think this might be helpful? Do you think these things would be helpful in our lives? I hope you say yes. That's why I'm making such a big deal out of it. Yes, obviously it would be helpful. The comfort, the strength, the doing, the power, the wisdom, the counsel, the advocacy, the intercession, all these things we need. And guess who does all of that? Holy Spirit. And yet the church doesn't hardly ever talk about or teach about Holy Spirit. Why is that? Is it maybe one of the reasons why we seem to sometimes be somewhat ineffectual? Because we don't even know the role and what all that the Holy Spirit does, and therefore we don't recognize it, we don't pursue it, we aren't even aware of it. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Paul here says he's telling the church at Colossae that they've been praying for them what? That God would fill them with knowledge, right? Knowledge of His will. How? Through what? Through spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul's saying, I want you to know, I want you to understand, I want you to have knowledge, and that comes through spiritual wisdom, because it is Holy Spirit that gives us wisdom, gives us understanding of God. So he says, we've been praying for you, we continue to pray for you, because you need to know this. We can know God's will through spiritual wisdom. Oftentimes, people think, well, I would do what God wanted me to do if I just knew His will. If I knew what He wanted me to do, I'd do it. Well, this, I read, Paul says, we can know. We can know what God's will is. We can know and have His knowledge and have His understanding through spiritual wisdom. James 1:5, I referenced it a little bit ago. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So if we lack wisdom, what do? Ask God. The wisdom that shows up after we ask is in the form of Holy Spirit, His counsel. He is going to give us His wisdom. John 14:26, but the counselor, comma, the Holy Spirit. It is one of the roles that He gives. So when I ask for counsel, when I ask for wisdom, Holy Spirit is going to show up and give that to me, and I should expect that. I should have faith that He will, in fact, do that. He is my paraclete. He's going to come alongside me, and He's going to help me in whatever way I need help. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Above all, you must also understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. The prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy and prophecy that is Scripture, it says, comes to us via how? Holy Spirit. Why do I make a point of this? This Bible, God's Word, prophecy of Scripture. It was given to man, and the writers, the authors wrote it down as the Holy Spirit, it says, carried them along. Now, I don't believe that Holy Spirit dictated it to them, and they just, you know, sat there and as like a stenographer and wrote it down. I believe that as the Holy Spirit inspired them and gave them this understanding, they wrote it down within their own personalities. If you read the differences, especially the Gospels or classic, we read the same material essentially, although there are some differences based on, and the writing style is different based on their personalities. Mark is, if you just look, it's not all the same. Mark is very simplistic. Even as bad of a Greek student as I was back when I was in seminary, I could take a Greek manuscript of Mark and pretty much read it because it's very simplistic. Luke is much more complicated because Luke was highly educated. Luke was a doctor. Luke writes within his personality of that doctor. He's what I call the Joe Friday of the gospel writers. Remember Joe Friday on Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am. Because he says he's writing to his friend Theophilus to do what? To write, I am endeavoring to write an orderly account. That's what he says. And so that's what he writes within that personality. John writes within the personality of the disciple whom Jesus loved. All right? And so his gospel is much more relational. We see the differences from author to author, but they're writing the same material, even though, because they're being carried along by Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this. So when I'm always, talking about how we need to read our Bibles and understand what it says, if it was communicated to man by Holy Spirit, it might make sense that I would want to invite Holy Spirit to be with me and give me understanding of it as I read it. People always tell me, it's like, well, I don't understand. I don't get, well, you need Holy Spirit. He will give you understanding. So that's why I point that out. It's so critical that we do read God's word, that we do know what it says, that we do understand it. And the best way to do that is to ask, to invite Holy Spirit to help us do that, because he is the one who gave it to us. He's the one who brought it to us from God. Let me take kind of a chunk of scripture here and wrap this up. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9-16. It says this: however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Okay, so we can't understand it. Okay, it's what it says. We can't understand what God is. Nobody's seen it, no ears heard it, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for us. Well, that doesn't sound very good. But our minds can't. Our eyes and our ears may not be able to get it, but God revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. If we say, I don't know, I don't understand, I don't get it, what we're saying is, I've not yet discerned, I'm not paying attention, whatever. I'm not getting what Holy Spirit wants to communicate to me. We're trying to do it ourselves. Our natural eyes, our natural ears, our natural minds cannot comprehend what God has prepared for us. But it has been revealed to us. How? By Holy Spirit. So if you or somebody you know is one of those people who gets kind of weirded out by the idea of Holy Spirit, guess what? You don't stand much of a chance of understanding God and what he's prepared for us. Because it says, am I making it up? It's revealed to us how? By Holy Spirit. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. But we need Holy Spirit in order to be able to understand it. What I'm sometimes surprised by this, and it's I believe that I can do this because Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. I'm not interpreting this, but this what I just told you, there's no interpretation in this. I'm not interpreting this anyways. I don't need some great theological education, be some great theological genius to figure this out. I'm literally reading what it says. That's all I'm doing. But you know what's so amazing? Before I really received and was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have been able to understand what it meant. Even though all I'm doing is literally reading what it says. Do you see that? I'm literally reading what it says. But people read that all the time and can't understand what it says because it's not spiritually discerned. They're not able to spiritually discern it. I believe this. Cassidy and I had this conversation. I believe the Bible is really pretty simple. It's not hard. Why? Because God wants as many people as possible to come to repentance and be saved. He wants the average Joe and the average Jane and even people who are less than average to be able to understand the gospel and be saved. It's not complicated. He didn't make it hard so that only people with lots of letters behind their name could tell everybody else what it means. They make it way too complicated. But God is revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men has known the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If you want to know what God's thinking, what God's doing, there's only one way you can know. And that is you have to be able to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. Because it says, except the only way we know it is except through the Spirit of God. I apologize if it sounds like I'm making too much of a big deal out of this, but I think this is a pretty big deal. That as Christians, we should want to know and understand so that we can live according to God's plan. But the only way I can possibly know God's plan is if I am in touch with His Spirit. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And there are so many people sitting in church this morning who do not understand what God has freely given them. As I always say, I believe as a Christian, our job is to live up to what God has already done for us. But we don't understand what God has already done for us. We don't understand all those P's that I talked about a while back, about power, position, privilege, prosperity. We don't understand that. So we don't live up to what God has already done for us, what He has freely given us. He freely gave us power via the Holy Spirit. He gave us position as His children. He gave us prosperity because He wants us to prosper in all that we do. He gave, you know, all those things that He gave us, the position that we have, that we're seated with Him at the right hand of God, all those things He gave us freely. We didn't earn them, He gave, but we don't understand it because we aren't in a relationship with the Spirit of God. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. If I'm teaching accurately this morning what God wants me to teach, then I am speaking spiritual truths and I'm speaking spiritual words. And the only way you're going to understand what I am speaking is if you have the Spirit. It's like if I were up here speaking French or Swahili, the only way you'd understand it is if you knew how to speak Swahili. Well, if I'm speaking Spirit, the only way you're going to understand it is if you have the Spirit. That's why it's so important. I don't feel I can overemphasize this. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And I know if I sound like a fool to you right now, you might want to check yourself, all right? And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. It means if we don't understand this, it means because we don't have the Spirit that allows us to discern it. We don't have the Spirit that allows us to interpret it as if it was another language. The spiritual man makes a judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Ooh, I love that verse. Ooh, I love that verse. Now, I think I can take this too far, but let me just push the limit. If there's the line, I'm going to go right up to it this morning. What can I judge? Oh, you're a Christian. You can't judge. Oh, yeah, I can. The Bible says I can. If I have the Spirit of God, if I have Holy Spirit, then I make judgments about all things. If the Spirit of God lives in me and I'm listening to it, it tells me that's God, that's not. That's healthy, that's not. I think God wants us to know what He's up to because we've already read that. He does. He wants us to know what he wants to do and what not to do. He wants us to know what's proper and what's improper. He wants us to know what's healthy and what's not healthy. He wants us to know what's productive and what's not productive. And so therefore, I can do what? I can judge all those things because the Spirit of God inside me allows me to. But I'm not judged. Folks, you should blow that passage up, print it out, put it big somewhere. I'm going to preach to Harlan. Harlan likes that. He's with me. I like that. That's good stuff right there, man. I can judge all things, but I'm not subject to any person's judgment. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in me. As I read last week, He's placed there as a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance. Therefore, nobody can judge me. My inheritance, if the Holy Spirit lives in me, is a deposit guaranteeing that I inherit the kingdom of God. Judgment is an eternal, basically a decision that you are eternally damned. Well, no, I'm not, because I have the Holy Spirit living in me as a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance. I have some preachers in my mind that I could hear them preaching this, man. They would be tearing this passage up. And it would be making a lot of people really uncomfortable. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ available to us. We have to access it. How do we access it? Via Holy Spirit. Amen. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. He's going to teach us everything we need to know. He's going to remind us of everything that God taught us, everything that Jesus taught us. He's going to remind us of the things that we need to know. The Holy Spirit, I can't, no matter how carried away I get with this, I don't think I can overemphasize the importance of Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole is never going to be powerfully effective and fruitful, productive, the way that it needs to be until it embraces the person of Holy Spirit. Because he's God with us, and he's the doer of all of these things, and he is the communicator with us, and he's the one who works through us. He is the one who allows us, with him working through us, to touch people by the hand of God. So how are we ever going to do our job? There's nothing wrong with having a class or a program or a campaign, but if that's not done with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the leading of Holy Spirit, it's not going to be effective the way it should be. The gifts of the Spirit are the body parts that make up the body that is the church. That is the design of how the New Testament church is supposed to function. And as I said last week, I virtually know of zero churches that model this as their model for ministry, including ourselves. John 16, 7 and 8, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor's who? The Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, judgment, and righteousness. It's good that he goes away so the Holy Spirit can come and be with us. But the purpose that the Holy Spirit is with us is so that the world can be convicted. And what convicted is not condemned. Convicted means it lets the world know that you need Jesus. Conviction basically says you need Jesus. That's what conviction is. You need Jesus. You can't do it on your own. You need Jesus. And he says, it's good. It's good that I'm leaving so I can send the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you forever, and he will convict the world and let the world know that they need Jesus. If you know somebody that needs Jesus, how are you going to be able to communicate their need to Jesus without Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of our need for Jesus. Again, that's not complicated. There's nothing there, you know, deeply theological. I just read and said what it says. So the Holy Spirit is critically important. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's the one that's going to come alongside us and help us in whatever capacity we need help in. That's what he does. It's who he is.